On this episode of The VoiceOver Junction, I continue my chat with Melissa Motes about commercial voiceover. We talk about auditioning, specs, mindset, and so much more. Let's jump right into it. I want to talk a little bit about auditioning.
Sure.
So whether it's, you know, maybe folks have an agent, maybe folks are looking on, you know, casting sites, whatever it might be. Let's just talk about me because I'm here with you. So let's say I see a script that I think I might be good at. What's the first thing that I should do before auditioning? What's the second? You know, so can you kind of talk me through, like, how do I figure out if this is really a good script? And then what are my next steps?
Yeah, that is a great question. I would definitely say, first and foremost, I personally don't like to read the casting specs before I read the actual spot and do a few reads. I think casting specs are very, very, they'll heavily influence your read is where I'm going with that.
Okay.
And once you've been influenced by casting specs, you can't be uninfluenced. So I feel like a lot of talent, me included, you read those casting specs and then all of a sudden you're spending more time trying to decipher what they mean than just trusting your instincts with the script itself. So for me personally, and I always advise talent to do this, is Take a moment and read the script to yourself and just get a sense of it. Just you and the writer are simpatico. You and the writer are friends. It's like this writer wrote this and you want to be able to crawl into their mind and heart and understand when they wrote this thing, what were they going for? And it's our job as the voice actor to honor that writer. Right? We want to honor our listener too, you know, our audience, but we really want to honor that writer. So spend some time really just kind of getting a sense of the script. Take a couple minutes and just read the script and just kind of feel your way through it. Then never, ever, ever, ever read the script aloud if you're not standing right in front of your microphone, because some of your best takes, some of your best reads are going to be take one, take two, because you're just sort of, it's your instinct, right? It's your first little reaction. So the worst thing you can do is be maybe sitting at your desk outside of your booth or on your sofa and you're reading it out loud, practicing it a couple of times, and you're like, oh yeah, that was a great read. That felt so good. And if you think you can go in your booth and do it exactly the same way, you know, when you do it the third, fourth, fifth time, they're always going to come out of us a little differently. So always make sure you're standing in front of a mic. And do two or three reads. Just trust your instincts. Try not to overthink. And then look at the casting specs and see what they're asking for. And what I like about this exercise is then, when you're submitting your audition, it's always good if you can come up with a second take, a B take. Then this, after reading the casting specs, that's going to really help you come up with the second take, because there's a really good chance the way you read it is going to be different than what they're asking you for in the casting specs. So then you can go, oh, they want this way more energetic than I just delivered. I gave more of a low-key, relaxed vibe. Now I'm going to go ahead and kick it into high gear and razzle-dazzle this thing up a little bit, you know? So then you're like, solid. You got your A and B take, two takes that you can send in that sound very different. So those are some of the things I consider when I'm doing an audition, is I consider the casting specs when I get to them, but I don't drive myself crazy trying to understand what they mean. Because most of the time, people who are casting, they're going to know it when they hear it. They're going to, whether the casting specs are whatever they are, it's more of a, oh yeah, this is the read, or oh yeah, this is the voice and the interpretation that we were looking for. So there's that. So I hope those are some things that help. One other quick note is, when you're on the mic and you're auditioning and you're doing your read, don't be having a little negative sidebar conversation where you're going, I hope this is what they want. I hope I'm what they want. I hope I understood those specs properly. You'll drive yourself crazy. own the story and just tell the best story you can tell. But take ownership of your read, be confident in your read, and be yourself. Don't overlook the fact that, the secret sauce is you, is your ability to do you. And when you're in that creative space and you're auditioning, give yourself full permission to just be creative, have fun, take some chances. Don't just phone it in. Don't just read it like play it too safe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Thinking about technical considerations, especially for those listeners who are maybe just at the beginning stages of their journey in voiceover, do you suggest folks edit out breaths and, fully master and EQ their recordings or not or somewhere in between? What are your thoughts on that?
That's a great question. Well, especially for talent who are brand new, and they're not only new to the craft of voice acting, but they're new to editing their own audio. I think the less you do with it, the better. I think far too many talent, they try to deep breath their audio and they still leave little half breaths or, a quarter of a breath in there, or they don't clean it up all the way. So then it just starts sounding weird, or the spacing is wrong. They'll take a breath out, but the gap, where the breath used to be is too big, mm-hmm. or they'll mm-hmm. edit it too tightly. So then it just sounds like everything's running together. So there's a learning curve with the editing. So I would say, the least amount of, futzing with it that you can do, please, you're doing yourself a big favor. Unless you're like a crazy loud breather where your breathing is just obnoxious, leave the breaths in or lessen them, bring the volume of the breaths down a little bit. And then sometimes the breathing is a really big part of the acting. It really enhances the story you're telling, right? Especially if you're being conversational. And EQing and compressing, et cetera, stay away from all that stuff unless you know what you're doing. If you've had some engineering training, you've taken some courses, and you've really practiced and learned and had somebody really listen to your, processed audio, and they've said, oh yeah, you got this, you know what you're doing, I would say stay away from it because you can't undo that. And if anything, if it's overdone, it's very, very distracting when you're listening to those auditions. And you want them to focus on your really great performance, right? Not on the poor edit job or the over-processed edit job.
So we're going to take another 90-degree wild turn here, Melissa. You touched a little bit upon about mindset, during an audition. I hope this is right. I hope this is right. Give me a little roadmap. What kinds of things? What kinds of self-talk should we have to ourselves about regarding mindset before, during, and after an audition?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. One of the things that is really important to me, during the day, I have to keep my thoughts and my, space in my home where I'm recording and doing my work and my auditions positive. It's really hard if you're, reading negative content, or maybe you're watching the news or something is upsetting to you and you start getting yourself all worked up. It's really hard to be in that mindset and then to be able to walk into your booth and then just be free and playful and fun and tell some great stories and that stuff you were doing beforehand to not have some kind of an effect, right? Or if somebody, somebody in your life who's maybe kind of negative, or every time you talk to them, they're very much like they deplete you, right? They deplete your energy. If you see them calling and you're getting ready to go in and do your auditions, I would say maybe don't answer the phone right now. Like, wait, call him later, you know? So it's getting yourself into a really nice, yummy, you know, creative headspace where you're in a good mood. Sometimes I'll watch some funny videos or, you know, have a fun conversation with a good friend or a family member before I'm going to start auditioning, just to kind of be in that nice, you know, like, yeah, let's go have some fun, you know, place. So beforehand is definitely important. Then when you get into that booth and you start auditioning, don't forget how fun what we get to do is. Don't take yourself too seriously. And certainly, there's only room in your booth for one part of you, and that is you in the most creative place. I want you to always remember to not ever invite your critic into the booth with you, only your creative. Your inner creative is welcome to the party. Your inner critic is not invited. So make sure these booths are not that big, you know, our little recording spaces are small. So I say, leave that critic out there and leave them in the cold and have fun, play, enjoy the process and be detached. I remember earlier on in my auditioning, I used to be so attached to the outcome. I was always so like, oh, this is so right for me. This is going to be mine, or I hope I get it. This is so awesome. I would love to book this. I'm not suggesting to not hope you ever book things, but just be detached. Just tell the best story you can tell. Use all the skills you have to tap into, and have fun. And, you know, just like go do your thing. And then when it's time to edit that audio and send it, I always say, send your audition in with a positive thought. You know, it's one of those things where so many talent I've mentored over the years, they'll do a great audition, they'll edit it, they're getting ready to upload it or put it in a Dropbox folder or send it as an email attachment to wherever it's going. And you know what they say as they send it off? They say, I'm never going to book this. And I really am a firm believer in our thoughts, our energy. And every time I send an audition out, I send one word along with my audition, and it's yes. And I always put out a yes with my auditions. And some people might think that's silly, but we have a choice. We can put yes energy out with our auditions, or we can put no energy out with our auditions. And which one's going to make you feel better? Which one's going to help you get back in your booth and do the next awesome audition, right? It's the yes energy. So for me, what you're doing before you audition, what you do during the time you're auditioning, and then the energy you send your audition out with, they're all equally important. So it's really important to keep yourself in a good, you know, headspace, a healthy headspace. I know some talent like to meditate. They'll do a 5-minute, like, you know, guided meditation before they go into their booth. I know some who like to go for a walk. I personally love a nice cup of coffee about 30 minutes before I'm going to audition. And I'm like, woohoo, I'm zingy. I'm really feeling the feels. I'm on my caffeine high. That seems to help me a lot. Figure out what works and make sure you're also not only in a good headspace, but you have good energy. There's nothing worse than just feeling like exhausted at the end of the day, or you're in a bad mood, or you're just drained and going into your booth and trying to audition. It's kind of, I hate to say it's a waste of time, but it just, you're not going to have do your best work in that situation.
One of the things about VO is that in my time in it, there are like the highest of highs, you know, when you book your first, you know, big client, national spot, whatever that might be, and then your lowest of lows. I was talking with another talent not too long ago. You know, we were talking about, gosh, you know, on this particular, you know, P2P site, my booking ratio is just in the toilet, or, you know, I haven't booked work in a while. I lost this gig because of, you know, circumstances out of my control. What advice do you have to our listeners about dealing with sort of those types of things that are really out of our control, but that can still get us, you know, really, really down?
Yeah, I would just say, number one, expect it. Expect ebb and flow. expect there are going to be high highs and low lows and everything in between. And to think you're not going to have those, you're fooling yourself, you know? So we all deal with stress differently. We all deal with expectations differently. And I think keep a positive mindset on the, you're going to have gigs that you're going to, you know, you're going to book and they're going to be yours for whatever length of time that's going to be. But your gig is your gig while it's your gig. So don't get too married to any of your, your clients, because I'll tell you, it's like getting sucker punched when you find out you're no longer on a campaign, for example. I've had a couple big ones where I was a voice of certain, household, brand for 5 years, and then one day I just wasn't. And they don't like send you a fruit basket and say, well, thank you so much for being our voice for the last 5 years. We really appreciated everything that you brought to our campaign, and we're now moving in a different direction. What happens is you're supposed to be booking with them, maybe you book with them once or twice a month. It comes to that time where they should be calling, and then they just don't call. And it's hard. And it can break your heart, especially the first time. I remember I was just really sad about it. And one of my mentors at the time was just like, you gotta feel the hurt. You gotta like let it sting for a minute. And then you just gotta use that same energy to fuel you to go back out there and book that next campaign. And that's what I've done is, but you got to give yourself time. And some people it's a couple of days and they're like, all right, whatever, I'm over it. And other people, it might take them longer, it could be a month or more or whatever the case is for that person. But I think just keep your expectations in line. And, just because you're auditioning, I hear this one a lot, like, oh, I'm on a casting site and I've done 100 auditions and I haven't booked anything yet. Well, there might be a reason for that. Maybe your editing isn't where it needs to be. Maybe your audio quality isn't where it needs to be. Maybe your chops are not quite as developed as you thought they were, and maybe your reads still need some work. There's a lot of things to consider, It takes time, and you need to figure out as you start booking work, you start to see where your booking trends are, right? And you start to see, what kinds of work you're really aligning yourself with. And that's your biggest tell to start auditioning more for that type of work, because that's the kind of stuff you book, right? So that's another thing to consider. But I kind of am tangenting a bit off from your question. But all I can say is just go into this business knowing that no 2 days are going to be the same. When you book an audition and you're really excited about it, use that energy to fuel you and catapult you into even more auditions and more great work. And when you hit those lows and you have those moments, let yourself feel what you need to feel, but also turning to your community, turning to the voiceover community and other people within the community, they're really there to help support you and pick you back up and help you get back out there. That's one thing that's helped me a lot over the years is just talking to other people who get it. Because people who don't voice act, as much as they want to be loving and supportive, if they're not involved in that world, they don't understand, not in the same way. They can be like, oh, okay. They won't get it the same way as a fellow talent will get it. So have a good group of people in the community, the voiceover community, that you can lean on for them to help you get out of your own head and get out of your own way and get back after it.
So, Melissa, for my last question, I always like to ask just sort of a fun question about my guests. So the question that I want to ask you, and, you know, a look behind the curtain here, I've been a student at the Voice Actor Studio for a while now, and I took a series of telephony classes with Melissa, which I highly, highly recommend. And Melissa, will you tell me the story, tell our audience the story of a particularly... how shall we put it? A risque telephony job that you had.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Well, this particular client, I won't mention their name, but they were a client that had about 5,000 prompts for me to record.
Oh,
and
my
it was
gosh.
A very interactive telephony gig. And they wanted me to have this very sexy voice. I mean, they wanted my sexy, raspy, flirty, you know, vibe. And, you know, it took a lot of days to record all those prompts. But as the day goes on and your voice gets warmed up, as it turns out, Michael, I'm the sexiest in the morning. When I first wake up, it's easier for me to get into that lower bottom end of my voice and add in that rasp. And that's something worth mentioning is as the day goes on, your voice definitely can do different things, right? The more warmed up or the least warmed up. But anyway, it turns out that every morning when I would get up, pour my first cup of coffee, get in my booth. As the day went on, I'd start out at my maximum sexiness, and then, or my maximum sexiest. And then as the day goes on, I get a lot less sexy. So my voice gets warmed up. I start sounding a lot younger and a lot more bubbly. So, but I had to do thousands of these prompts. And interestingly enough, I had a few of my takes that I sent over to these guys that got rejected. And they were like, you know, these 50 prompts were not sexy. And I was thinking, oh boy, I probably did these closer to lunchtime, you know? And then anyway, I had to do some work for them recently, some pickups. And this was a job I did several years ago. And I went back and I listened to some of the audio just for reference to kind of get myself back into that mindset to perform that stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this client. And I was like, well, they got to be the first one in the queue for the day, you know, to get that sexy voice going. So there you have it, you know, sexy voices. We all got our sexy voice on in the morning. At least that's how it goes for me.
Well, I love that. Thank you, Melissa. Hey, I wanted to, before we go, I wanted to give you a chance to plug any and everything that you'd like to plug. The floor is yours.
Aw, well, thank you. I wanted to say thank you for, you know, having me, Michael. This has been so awesome to just get to just talk some shop with you. There's nothing I love more than voice acting, and it's just been such a deep passion for me. And I always say I don't know what I love more, voice acting itself or helping other voice actors, you know, get their start and find their voices and, you know, go after their dreams. It's just so awesome to be a part of. Super rewarding. But yeah, the Voice Actor Studio is my baby, and I feel so humbled to get to work with so many amazing talent, and I've met so many great people such as yourself through the studio. So if anybody's looking for some coaching or some, you know, pick me up or some kind of a, you know, motivation, inspiration, I'd love to help. And we've got a really great team of coaches, and we do a lot of fun things. We have script contests and all kinds of fun stuff going on in our community. So come check us out at thevoiceactorstudio.com. And my voice acting website for myself personally is ladyluckvoiceovers.com. So if, you know, if anybody wants to scope out what I've been up to, I try to update my site and add new projects on all the time. And all I can say is I appreciate you. I'm excited for you and your new podcast, and all the voice actors listening, whether you're just getting started or you're a seasoned pro who's been around a while, just, you know, keep after it. And I feel really thankful that I had people around me encouraging me and cheering for me as I was getting started. And I know not everybody has that, you know, luxury to have people that are like, you can do this, you got this. And I'm always really humbled and happy to be that person for talent who are getting started. So keep after it.
Folks, I can't recommend the Voice Actor Studio enough. That's where I received my training. What a great group of folks. And Melissa really does just a fantastic job of making sure that every coach is supportive, but insanely talented and just wickedly awesome teachers and coaches and people. So I can't recommend that that studio enough, the Voice Actor Studio. Melissa, thank you so much. I appreciate you. I appreciate our friendship. And thank you so much for being on the inaugural episode of my podcast.
Well, this has been so fun. It's been absolutely my pleasure. And thank you so much for, you know, having me be your first guest. And I know your podcast is going to be so well received. You are just so darn lovable. And I wish you the best with everything.
Well, folks, that's it for now. If you've enjoyed today's episode of the VoiceOver Junction, I hope you'll consider subscribing and leaving me a rating. I'm your host, Michael Sanchez. I'll see you on the next one.
This has been an Evergreen VoiceOver production.